Blog Talk Radio.
Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Father, for everything that you have done for us, Father. Thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, first and foremost, Father, the blessing of life. Thank you for the blessing of your Torah. Thank you for the blessing of your Son, Yahushua, Father. Thank you, Father, for giving us guidance along the way, Father, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, Father. You still lead us that way, Father, even though it may not be the physical clouds that we see or the physical fire that we see, Father, but we know that your spirit, Father, says it's a consuming fire, Father, and we know that we are led by you, Father. We just ask, Father, that you continue to keep us in your way, that you hedge us up, Father, that you protect us, Father, that you keep our eyes open, Father, as the saying goes, I stay woke, Father. We know you neither slumber nor sleep, Father, and your eye is continually on us. As that song says, if your eye is on the sparrow, your eye is on us, Father. And we thank you, Father, for being merciful enough, Father, to let us know our iniquities, Father, for letting me know my iniquities, Father, where I veer off sometimes, Father, and that you love me enough, Father, to set me back. Thank you for that, O Yahweh. I pray for all my brothers and sisters, my elders, and everybody out there, Father, who is part of the nation of Israel, Father, that you uplift them, you uphold them, Father, and that you comfort them in the ways they need to be comforted, Father, and lead them, Father, the way you want them to go. In Yahushua's name we pray, amen.
Good.
Shalom, family.
Hello.
Oh, sorry. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moses his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shiva, family. Shalom Aleichem, Mishpuka. How is everybody feeling today? All right, to hear that. So, first, let me apologize for my absence last week. Did some dumb things as far as, you know, just came out of the detox class and talking about, I'm looking at it right here, clean living, you know, keeping your body detox, and toxified my body last week. Maybe I shouldn't have. And didn't take my blood pressure medication for a couple of days, and I think it got the best of me, so I tried to sleep it off and slept a little bit too long last Shabbat. So forgive me, family, for that. I do my best not to allow that to happen again when it is my turn to bring forth the words. One of the things that I do honestly feel that it is an honor and a privilege to be called up by Yahweh to talk on his behalf. And, you know, when he opens your mind up to reveal some things to you, that it's not something that should be taken lightly. It's a great honor. It's a great It's a great privilege. As a matter of fact, it is a great duty to have that. You know, I think of what is going on in our, you know, our government right now with the, you know, the constant carousel of people that are going in and out at various positions. And one of the things that, you know, you would think that nobody would want to take one of those jobs, but he's not short of people who are willing to take those positions. Why? Because at the end of the day, it's an honor, even if you don't necessarily agree with the person that may be entrusting you with the position. It is an honor still to represent the nation in that position. And, you know, the same thing when Abba calls you for anything to do for him, that it's an honor to do on behalf of the nation of Israel and on behalf of, you know, a long pedigree of people who Yahweh has chosen to bring forth his word. And that's something that should never be taken lightly, just by that merit alone. You know, if men put all their heart and soul into doing things for an earthly position, how much more so should we who are part of the nation of Israel do on behalf of what I believe we all aspire to, and that is to be a part of that kingdom, you know, once the true king returns and takes up his throne. So, you know, with that being said, today's lesson we are going to talk about creation, still in the book of Genesis. And you know, the whole point of what I believe Abba has placed on my heart to talk about is to just go back and look at some things from a very practical, even though it's starting off, you know, it's dealing with some spiritual things, but there's still a practicality to it that I think sometimes get lost, because so often, you know, we feel like the mundane or the physical things are just that, you know, they're just mundane things, and they get glossed over sometimes when they shouldn't be glossed over, not in any regards. You know, it requires us being satisfied sometimes with just the simple word and working of Yahweh. Why does it always have to be the deep things that catches our interest? You know, why do we have to feel like we have to? First of all, Yahweh said this: that which I reveal, if I open myself up with this information, that's for you and your son. You know, and then when you check a lot of these sources that, you know, people like to run to, and you really vet them, you find out there's some shakiness to the authenticity of some things, and there's some shakiness as to who the author may really be, and whether or not, you know, a book might be associated with this person is really something that was written by that person. But oftentimes, you know, you have people who, and this isn't something new, I don't know why people think that it wouldn't happen in ancient times, that, you know, you put somebody's name on something because it's going to catch your attention. So you say this book is attributed to this person because, of course, you're going to say, oh, my goodness, yes, I'm going to definitely read that, and everything word in there is going to be truth. Well, you know, the one thing, and I think it was brought out in last night's teaching about a wolf in sheep's clothing, you know, and you had that throughout history. This, you know, people look at the modern pastor or whatever as, you know, oh, he's only talking about them. No. He was bringing to light at that time and giving them an example. But it doesn't mean that these wolves that paraded themselves, first of all, he started off with saying, it's no marvel that Hasatan can present himself as an angel. Well, that's the same scenario. A wolf in sheep's clothing is no different than a demon parading himself as the angel of light, as the light bringer. And why an angel of light? Because guess what? The first thing that Yahweh created was what? The light. The first thing he brought into existence was that light. So he knows that that light is something that is very important. So if you want to deceive people, the best way to deceive them is to present them something that they can have confidence in order to deceive them. For example, you know, you hear about the term con artist. This is one of the things that I learned from Amorey, Yaka'el. What is the definition or what is the meaning behind con artist? Well, one of the things is it's a confidence artist. what he does, and it's so funny because I was watching the show on Charles Manson, who I find to be one of the most interesting and fascinating figures in our modern history, because he is super duper crazy. He ain't no little bit of crazy. I mean, this man is just, and one of the things I find fascinating about him is how he is still able to have mind control and manipulation over people. One of the things that was brought out about him last night was he was a master at reading this one book, and it's going to be funny when you hear it, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Wow.
This was a book he mastered. And guess what? He was a master at the, he could quote, they said, I believe that he could quote verbatim passages from the book of Revelation. Because he knew, and they said one of the things about him was that while he was incarcerated as a young man, before he did all the really wicked stuff that he did, that he associated himself with pimps. Why? Because pimps helped him to understand, and I remember they said this part specifically, that you find a woman who is bent but not broken. You don't want a broken woman because she's beyond repair. But you want somebody who is bent, because then you can kind of mold them into the type of character that you want them to be. And we see as you go throughout what he's done, man, he was able to master, manipulate, man, anybody he came across that was in a state of being. So the point I'm making is that is the epitome of what a con artist, what the sheep and wolves, wolf and sheep clothing, what the demons that parade themselves as angels of light do. You know, they are massive. They know how to, one of the things, you know, I was talking with my son this week about, he was like, Daddy, he was a nice guy. We met somebody who spoke to me. And he was like, Daddy, is that your friend? I said, no, it's not my friend. He said, well, why did you speak to him? And I said, well, he spoke to me, so I spoke to him. So he's a really nice guy then, huh, Daddy? I said, well, I don't know that, son. I don't know, you know, if he's a nice man or not. I said, but he seemed like he's a nice man, so he spoke to you nice, so he must be a nice man. I said, son, I said, don't take what you see with people as face value.
Right.
I said, because the person who's trying to hurt you is never going to come to you and say, hey, guess what? I'm going to hurt you. No, instead what they're going to do is appeal to the things you like. So a man who wants to do something bad to you, sure, you might have nice people who offer you candy or offer you something you like, but oftentimes what the bad man knows is that if he acts like the person who is nice, guess what? If he tricks you into thinking he's nice, then he can find ways to get you to trust him so that he could do bad things to you. So just because somebody appears to be nice, no, you've got to take your time and observe people and make sure you vet them, and so that you know the character of the person, not just what they're showing you on the outside. But anyway,
good.
Don't want to get off into tangents. Some of the stuff that I took, you know, from the lesson last night, you know, with just some of the things that, you know, in thinking about the lesson and even, you know, it's so funny, one of the things that, you know, Abba, and I'm eventually going to get to the teaching after I start going off on my tangent, is what we, you know, I like our text forms. I really do. I love them because I'm not on Facebook. I don't get into the Facebook stuff. I'm not on Instagram. I'm not on social media. But one of the things that I like is that, you know, one brother sends out a text and it starts this whole text form. And see, I love that. But I don't want to be involved with all the other stuff that people get themselves involved to out there in the social media realm, IG, Twitter, and all. I like these forums with my brothers because it helps me to build. And sometimes we have different perspectives, different ways of seeing things, and we get to express it. But it's amongst my brethren who I feel most comfortable talking to and expressing myself to. And if I need to be rebuked, I know my brothers are going to rebuke me and correct me in love. But it's nice going through and just finding out sometimes a little different perspectives on how my brothers think and what they're seeing. You know, we have some political stuff going on there, some social stuff that's going on there. But I love it. It's like when I step away from my phone, it's like I rush back so that when I come in my office, because it'll ding on my wrist once I enter the building, I hear bing, 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 and I see, you know, L. Hall, Kelly, Umoja, and I say, oh, okay, it's banging on Franklin. I say, oh, Williams. I say, oh, yeah, well, we in some serious stuff right here. So I got to go through, read the text, get caught up, and say, all right, here we go. Rambling again. But we are going to talk about creation. But one of the things that Abba laid on my heart to start off is with a question. And the question is, and in relationship to the planet Earth, because now, you know, the big thing that's coming out now is, you know, Al Gore has an Uncomfortable Truth Part 2. And, I mean, he's on it, and you see he's on fire, preaching, oh, planet, no. And, you know, one of the things that we watched this show called, you know, Genesis is History. And it was one simple phrase that the man made in there that really got me to thinking about some things. He said the earth is still feeling the effects of the flood. Because when we look at the state that the planet is in today, believers, how did it get to be this way? How was it before? And how will it be in the future? Because you hear about global warming and the effects of global warming and what is taking place. And we know, or well, we'll see, that and in order to talk about creation where it was, actually Abba said, talk about when I had to destroy some things, when I had to bust it up. Because to really get the full magnitude of what he did to the planet and his infinite power to make this planet to where it is today, but we have to also look at what caused him to do what he did to this planet. Because, well, we'll see. So he says, start off in Genesis, the 6th chapter. And that's what we're going to look at. Genesis 6:9. And I really liked our chat this morning because it was right on time. And it's like nothing like, man, well, because, you know, before you come up and teach, you're like, man, you know, you say, well, why do you want me to go here and not here? And, you know, why do this or why do that? But then, you know, we usually don't do that on Shabbat morning. Everybody's usually getting ready for service. All of a sudden, I see my phone jumping off. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know? And then through the midst of it, it's like, hallelujah, told I would buy. Now I know why. So Genesis 6:9, we're going to start there. This part is Noah and the flood. These are the generations, told dope, of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with Elohim. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Also was corrupt before Elohim, and the earth was filled with violence. Okay. And Yahweh looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. So here's the thing about this statement. I looked at it in the Hebrew too. And it says, the earth also was corrupt before Elohim, and the earth was filled with violence. And Elohim looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. What do we get from that? Shalom, my kick. What do we get from that? All right. Simply put, change because the people on the earth have changed. Huh? The earth is starting to change because now the people on the earth are starting to change. So now, look at the earth and the way it is right now. Pollution. Right? Why is there pollution on the earth? Mankind. The animals ain't polluting the earth. The earth is not polluting the earth. Everything the earth does, whether it's a tornado or whether it's a volcano or whether it's anything that the earth does, the earth keeps itself in balance. But now man now is the wild card. See, man is the handful of jokers or whatever. As my brother used to say, he always says the proverbial fly in the ointment. See, because this earth, when Yahweh made it, wasn't like how we see it today. And the reason why it's how it is today and not the way he created it to be is because mankind has done some pretty bad things on it. So think about this, and this is one of the things that in the chat feed that we had going on this morning that really stood out. Let's think about sin for a second, right? Now I think about myself, right? When I'm willfully sinning, and just because I'm a Hobel and I'm a believer and I believe in Yahweh and Yeshua and the Torah, don't be a Hobel. Don't spend his time at times in ways to get caught up in some pretty bad things. I've become a master at some of that stuff. Sometimes I got to fight the spirit of theft that be upon me. I got to fight the spirit of lust that comes upon me. I have to fight these things. But there are sometimes I don't fight and I give in. I'm being honest in front of my family. I give in. But one of the things I notice when I'm fighting that sin, and I don't know if anybody else experiences, there's a heat that comes over my body. I get flush. My heart starts to race. It's almost like I'm working out. And it's like while I'm tussling mentally to go back and forth, do the will of Yahweh. Do the will of Yahweh. I feel like heat, and sometimes I've broken out into a sweat contemplating whether or not I'm actually going to go forward with this sin, right? So now, think about this. Let's say everybody in the world, or there's many people in the world that are going through the same phenomenon every day. What do you think all that collective heat is doing to the atmosphere? What do we think all of that stuff is actually doing to the earth? Because we are part of this planet, and this planet is a part of us. That's scripture. That's not no philosophical thing. He made mankind out of the dust of the earth, right? So that means we are connected to this earth, and the earth is connected to us. Wait a minute. The scriptures say, hold on, they're waiting for us to be adopted. As a matter of fact, they moan, what? They moan, the earth is like, oh, hey, hurry up, please. Y'all get this thing together because we are suffering here. Hold up. So now, wait a minute. So now we see that violence, and when you look at the term corruption in Hebrew, it's shakat. It means to cut. It means to do some pretty bad stuff, right? Then the word for violence in the scriptures is, in Hebrew, is Hamas. Y'all heard of the term Hamas before? What is it? That's a group over in Israel that's known for bombing and killing and all that type of stuff. Violence, huh? So when you think about all of this, and when you think about what the scriptures say about what are you supposed to do if somebody's blood is spilled? If blood is spilled, that blood has to be covered up and atoned for. That blood has to be returned back to the earth. That there's certain things that are supposed to take place every time blood is shed. Especially when blood is shed and somebody passes as a result of it. This is in the Torah. So now you think about where Baltimore is right now, with all these murders taking place, and there's no priest to go out there now and cleanse it before Yahweh. What is this doing? What is it causing? What is it causing? And when you think about what's taking place in the earth at the time that is filled with corruption and violence, hold on. We got corruption at the very top of our government right now. We got a man constantly like this on his phone spinning. Well, we went over there to adopt. Well, it was about Russian adoptions. That's what you say. Say it was Russian adoptions. You know what? They're not falling for it. Blame Congress. Blame the Republicans. Don't blame the Democrats. I'm sorry, not Republicans, Democrats. Blame everybody but me. You know, when we talk about this now, when you talk about, and hold up now, he said in Ezekiel, me and Daniel right now, right? He said, hold on, I prayed, and it took 21 days for this prayer to come back to me. And when the prayer finally came back, he said, hold up, Daniel. He said, your prayer was answered the very day that you set your face to Yahweh, but an angel over what? Over Tyree held me up for 21 days. So wait a minute now. We got to connect all of this. And when Paul says, come on, put on the whole armor of God, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of high places, right? So that means that there's things that are going on out there that are directly affecting us, but they're taking place up way in the atmosphere. Coincidence, the first thing we hear about is Shemayim. We hear about the heavens first, then we start to learn about, even though it's a quick blurb in there, when you start going through creation in Genesis, he talks about heaven and earth, heavens before he really starts to talk about what he's dealing with the earth. And it's just real quick. But still, he says, wait a minute now. I'm letting you know that there are things that are taking place outside there that affect here. But he's placing insulation around it in order to keep us safe from some of it. Are we going to see some of that today? But he wanted me to talk about that to start off with the flood and to show how this world got to be like this as a result of what mankind is doing. But from the beginning, it was not so. The earth was so much different, and we're going to see some of that. And it's so funny because we've had a week of pretty bad storms, haven't we? Matter of fact, 2 weeks of, and it's so appropriate because, you know, I think about the day when I came, when I woke up and I felt all that breeze and I seen all that sunshine, Sukkot. I was like, well, I can't wait for Sukkot to come now. Boy, you feel that? You say, boy, you be out in the woods on a day like today, a nice breeze, and you know, hopefully I'll be able to take off the whole time and just, oh, sit outside and just feel this nice breeze, man, and just feel one with nature. Even if it's in the midst of Patapsco State Park, it just feels good, you know? But anyway, we're going to see that where we are today is a direct result of what has taken place, you know, many thousands of years ago. And like that show said, you know, we're still, they're calling it global warming. I think global warming is too easy in the terms of from a believer's perspective. We need to see it from, it is global warming, but the warming is a result of sin. You know, sin, and you know, people will listen to this and say, oh, man, there you go, one of them Bible thumpers again. Well, you know what? One of the things that I have learned is you can't separate. You can try to. And one of the things that Yahweh talked about is his lesson last night. It's not my job to convince you. I'm convinced of what I believe in. And I don't feel I need to deconvince you from what you believe in. The end of the day, guess what? Something my teacher said a long time ago. Even though it was a little cynical or sarcastic. Well, if you believe, and if it turns out to be true in the end, at least you're not going to hell. Point I got from that with her was, it's better to believe than not to believe, because the alternative is wailing and gnashing of teeth. I'd rather have a whole lot of fun later on than have a whole lot of fun now. I don't want to hear about no Venezuela. Okay, so at Genesis 6:13. And Elohim said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, we know he didn't destroy the earth, but he did change the earth from where it was in the beginning. So he tells them, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, to bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. Now, think about what's happening here. Excuse me. What was happening up to that point with the earth? Have they seen rain up to that point? No. So if you didn't see rain, how are you going to believe that a flood is going to take place? So now imagine this man, he's building this thing, and he's telling people, and I remember this, one of the teachers I'll never forget from Gershom Ben Daniel. Remember that? It's going to rain. Yeah, it's going to rain. Tell me, y'all. I got the word from Yahweh. It's going to rain. He's building the ark. 120 years. Building. It's going to rain. Yeah, it's going to rain. Rain. Because think about it. Let's read on a little bit further. What'd you say? What's that? Why? It never happened. They had no point of reference. It's a new word that he's actually presenting to them. When you start, when you talk about at that point there was no rain, and here it is, he starts coming up with this word for something they have no point of reference to. Guess what? He didn't either. This was something that Yahweh gave directly to him to present to the people, right? That was his word that he presented to them. But what did the people not do? They didn't believe. But what did he have to do in order for Noah, and think about the ark and how big it was and the length of time it took for him to do this, the type of faith this man had to have. Because now he's telling these people, hey, y'all, our creator, he came to me and told me that we need to change our ways because the things that we're doing is starting to upset his creation, and it's upsetting him. He's about to do something that y'all have never experienced before. I haven't even experienced this. But I believe, based on what he told me, it's coming. Right. Now, he's giving y'all the opportunity to join me on this fantastic voyage. We're about to go on, because at that time, well, no such things as cruises.
Right.
And we're going to see, based on the landmass where people were, guess what? They had no reference of even water at that time. They didn't. Not a body of water, yet they were surrounded by it, though. Right? We're going to see that. So you have them, it's going to rain, it's going to rain, y'all, it's going to rain. And people are like, rain? You out your mind. You crazy. What are you talking about? Some rain. What you building that thing for? Well, Yahweh told me, our creator told me, to let y'all know that he's going to load this up with the people who believe and the animals in order to preserve life. Because guess what? Destruction is coming. There's going to be something that's going to take place that we've never experienced. And if we do not prepare ourselves for what we are about to experience, we all going to die. I don't want to die. And I don't want my family to die. Right? That's what he's telling the people. Y'all going to die. We all going to die. This right here is to prevent us from dying a terrible death. Because people may have understood maybe what it was like to die by fire, but they die by stoning, die by a whole lot of things, but nobody understood what it was like to drown. That's right. So think about the magnitude of what he's doing at that time and what he's presenting to the people at a time when people had no point of, because things were not perfect, but things were a lot different than they were even now, than they were back then. Because at that point, the earth, again, was in a far different state than it is today. It was somewhat of a, what we might even consider to be a paradise at that time. So we're going to 6:16. The window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and door of the ark, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Hold up, y'all. Hold up. 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 Especially in light of what we talked about this morning, you know, in this whole gay transgender movement. Hold up. You mean to tell me from back then, he's telling you we need a male and a female? We need a male and a female in order to what? Keep things alive. Keep life going. So every one of y'all transgender / homosexuals out there, guess what y'all showing the earth? That y'all want it to die. That's what you are showing her. And as much as I may disagree in a lot of things with the man Johnson, that's one thing I do wholeheartedly agree with him on. Don't come at us with this is some biological thing that y'all going through. This ain't biological, man.
Right.
This is psychological.
Right.
This is dealing with your mind. Because in order for you to do this, you have to convince yourself that this is right and this is natural. It starts in the mind first with every one of y'all, and this is a fact about these transgender people. You have to first be psychologically ready before you can be physiologically transformed. That's a fact. To make sure, are you sure you're ready for this?
Right.
And they don't mean whether your body is ready for it. Are you sure you're ready? Are you sure you are ready to go through this transition? Because if you're ready to go through this transition and to get this surgery performed on you, you have to sign these documents to show your level of commitment to your psychosis.
That's right. That's right. That's true.
Mm-hmm. You're a psycho. And you done convince yourself and the others. I don't love Dave Chappelle, man. Why do I have to partake in your craziness? Wait a minute. Think about what they're doing to the mindset of the planet to say, accept this. Accept this for what it is. And I could disagree with it, but he makes on this is so true, even with the civil rights movement, that there's no way they were going to pass the civil rights movement until that clause was put in there that says gender, which also implies gender association. That was the only way it was going to pass if that clause was put in there, that gender had implying gender association. How crazy you are about what you think about this. If I stand in the mirror and say, I'm a dog, I'm a dog, I'm a cat, I'm a cat, and I stand in the mirror all day long and I say, hey. And we've seen these people before. You've seen the tiger man who done made his face to look like a tiger. And people look at him and say, you crazy. But hold up, what's the difference? I'm a woman. 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 I'm no longer Bruce, I'm Caitlin. And we tell the world to accept this as such, but the guy who wants to be Lizard Man and slit his tongue and do all this with his tongue, we look at him and, yo, he's crazy because he think he a lizard. Hold up, dude. Hold up, woman. You doing the same thing. Just because you're in the gym and you can put your body and take all kinds of testosterone to trick your body into thinking it's a man. I used to watch Orange is the New Black. And the thing that was on the transgender on there, they put it in solitary confinement, right? And the main concern that the transgender had was, how am I going to get my estrogen? Because if I don't get my estrogen, if I don't fool my body into thinking it's a woman, it's going to revert back to its natural state. That's one of the, and that's a fact. If as a woman, you don't keep, and that's where you got to put it, them testosterone shots in your dumpy, your body eventually is going to say, you know what, we still remember you a woman. Same thing with the man. The body going to remember you a man. There's certain things that are within your DNA you cannot change. And so now you think about, they are starting to implement a collective psychosis among the masses. Say, oh, man, it's all. First of all, why are y'all bringing back Will and Grace to TV? And the first thing, one of the commercials that caught my eye was when they fist bump each other, gay people think alike, don't they? When they were sitting, I don't know if y'all seen the commercial, and they sitting there talking, blah, 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 and they both say the same thing, the two guys, and they say, oh, gay people think alike, and they repeat the same thing. You know, like when we do Jinx or whatever, oh, we said the same thing. They, yeah, you know, and that's the whole thing. So you figure that, right? And then you got the women in the middle, oh, you know, like, anyway, oh, you know, gay friends are the best friends to have. You don't want anything from them. They don't want anything from you. You know, blah, 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 blah. Yes, they do. They want a whole lot from you. They want you to buy into it because the more that it is bought into, and they look, whether that gay manifesto is true or whether it's not true, there is an insidious plot to effeminate the men and to emasculate the women and to upset the order. Like this, like one of my favorite movies says, acquittal, acquittal after acquittal, until the stench reaches so high it chokes out the stinking lot of them. But guess what? Your acquittal will never choke out the heaven. It will never choke out Yahweh's realm because it's heavily guarded. Heavily guarded by some of the mightiest forces in the universe. They're the guardians of the galaxy. Okay, but guess what will happen? Acquittal after acquittal will reach that firmament because that's why there is a firmament. There is a barrier between heaven and earth. And it will cause problems right here on earth, which we're seeing right here. We haven't, I haven't forgotten. We're going back to the first state that the planet was in. 6:18. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons with thee. And every living thing of flesh, two of every sort, shall thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with. They shall be male and female. He's talking about Noah and his wife, Shem and his wife, Ham and his wife, Japheth and his wife. He ain't excluding them from male and female. He didn't say male and female of animals. He said male and female of everything that is alive. Of fowls after their kind. And of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take unto thee of all food that is eaten, thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that Yahweh commanded him, so did he. What do we get from that? Obedience. Obedience. And Yahweh said, we're in 7th chapter now. And Yahweh said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And of every clean beast shalt thou take to thee by seven, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. That includes man and woman. Of fowls also of the air by seven, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. 40 days and 40. And you think about it. We had some, you know, like I said, we had some pretty powerful storms. I remember one storm, I don't know if it was Wednesday or Thursday, fine little drops, right? And I know it was weird because I was on this side of town, then went to my side of town, and it was Thursday. And, like, one side of town got creamed, and one side of town was dry. This side of town got creamed. My side of town was dry, but I don't know what. Even my wife, I was off Tuesday or Wednesday, was off to take the boys to had to take the boys to the doctor, and when I picked up, she was soaked, and she came and seen us like, why y'all dry? Like, what you mean why we dry? It ain't rain. She head was soaked, everything was soaked, all the umbrella was soaked, you know. But you think about, and I was thinking about how when the rain came, and it's like it started off with a few little drops. Then, like, some serious drops started coming out. Plop, 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 plop. Then all of a sudden you heard, gosh, whoom. And then, like, the floodgates was open. And I think that's similar to what happened just at that. Because a little bit of drops came down. And I could just see the people in wonderment, like, what is this? You know, like, what is this? Coming from out the sky, what is this? And then more comes, and then more comes, and then, like, panic sets in. And guess what? As panic is setting in, and the rain starts to really pour down, and you see Noah do this. Like Maxwell Smart. Remember how he used to come through the gates and all the doors shut behind him? That's how it was. Takes the big bar. Takes another thing. It's completely sealed. Because what do you think is going to happen? Well, first, the thing got to come in, the ladder that everybody walked in. That got to be pulled in. Then all the doors get shut and the window gets shut. And what do you think people are going to do at that point when they see that rain coming down? And then now it's starting to accumulate and it starts to come up to their feet and it starts to come up to their waist. And they're starting to realize, yo, this is for real. We're about to die. What do you think? They're going to start forming human chains to get everybody. We have to get to the ark. We have to get to the ark. Get to the ark. Get to the ark. No, we're telling the truth. It's too late. Get to the ark. No, we're telling the truth. And you can see people pounding on that door. Noah, let us in. Let us in. Let us in. We're drowning out here. What? Too late. Boom, boom, boom. Wah. Ain't going to be no happy music played afterwards. It's going to be gloom and doom. But this is what people, they didn't believe. See, now this is the first time, I don't believe this isn't the first time when rain was mentioned. Hold on. Now that wasn't the first time rain was mentioned. But rain, let's look at the Hebrew word for rain in that scripture. A brand new word. Geshem. Geshem. Applies a shower, rain shower. All right? Okay? So that was, and I meant to talk about that earlier, that was the new word that was actually introduced to the people. Geshem, because they had no point of reference of it. You know, there was nothing for them to hold on to or to believe until it actually happened. But when you think about even what we're going through in our day and age, you know, and I hear Al Gore, and he's explaining to people the process from a meteorological point of view, right? Meteorology from like a physical point of view. You know, the earth is getting warm and these are all the physical things that are taking place in the earth and all that type of stuff. And the earth is still changing. It's still, we see it. We are witnessing things that are changing within the earth. But Al is not the result of just carbon dioxide or carbon monoxide being put out there in the earth. There's a lot more to it than that. Because, see, whereas Al Gore may be a champion for the planet on one instance, guess what? And all these, you know, tree huggers and all that type of stuff. And I don't mean it in a sarcastic way, because I do think you need people to bring certain truths to light. But on the same token, you're the same one that would uphold a lot of the sin that people are committing, that is leading to a lot of this. You know, you're a champion of other causes that go in opposition of what the scriptures teach and what the scriptures talk about. Because just like back then, corruption and the violence that mankind was committing is causing these very same problems. You know, it's not just the heat. And see, this is the thing that so wanted to really, you know, talk about, you know, the fact that up to that point there was no rain. Then all of a sudden, here comes this rain, and this rain was for 40 days and 40 nights. And, you know, we see the end product of that instance in humanity's time here on Earth. So now let's go back to Genesis, the first chapter. And Matter of fact, we'll go back to Genesis 1:1 and just read on down. So, in the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. Right? So now, the first thing he gives us, I'm gonna do a little artistry here, right? Let's bear with me by example, right? Let's say that's the planet Earth, right? So he's letting us know right now the state. This is the water, right? They call it the blue planet, right? Why do they call it the blue planet? Because the planet ain't just blue. Most of what you see is blue. You see the water, right? So now he's looking at this blue planet, right? And he's letting us know right there, there's water. It's all over this thing. It's all water. It's covered in water. So it's a big blue planet, a big, big blue, big water, right? And then he said in 1:3, and Elohim said, let there be light, and there was light. And Elohim saw the light, and it was good. And we went over that a couple of weeks. And Elohim divided the light from the darkness. And Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and evening and morning was the first day. So the first thing we see, he set up this light. He came and he looked at the planet, and the first thing he said was there has to be a certain order, certain structure there. So because we talked about that light, and that light that he created wasn't the sunlight, wasn't the moonlight, it wasn't the starlight. It was something that was altogether different, right? And then we look in the book of John, and he tells us what that light is. He created an entity that was light, right? Okay, so first things first, he had to set spiritual entity over top of this creation here, right? First thing he had to do, he had to have something over top of it in order to keep certain things in order, right? Okay. 1:6, and Elohim said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Now, one of the things that, what do we see here that is taking place with the firmament? Separation? Okay. Yes, it is. Separation of what? Okay. Well, landmass isn't here just yet. He is still. Oh, go ahead, sir. We can talk. He created an atmosphere. Simply put, because if we're talking about now, he's going to go through this process of bringing forth life. And the type of life that we exist in, breathing in oxygen and giving out carbon, he got to put oxygen in the place, right? Because if it's all filled with water, can we live in water? We're not water creatures, right? That's what I'm saying. From just a simple perspective, he didn't plan on creating fish people. He created us to breathe this oxygen, so he had to have the atmosphere set in place, right? We're talking about his order of creation. So now he's putting a barrier. Think about it now. Wait a minute. Hold up. How can we not live in a biodome, Dr. Shaq? Well, if you don't believe in the Word of God, you can't understand it. But if you do believe in the Word of God, guess what? The seas don't go past, the water levels don't go past a certain point upwards. Now, they will always go downwards, but it won't go upwards. He set a certain point that the sea will not pass. Sure, you might have huge tidal waves and all this type of stuff, but the water's here, and we know that there's waters up there because water comes down from up there, right? They're separate. He put a barrier in between them so that water won't go up into the sky. Right or wrong? Simple. That's simple. Like what the sister said, boom, boom. That's it. He created an atmosphere. Now, they've comprised our atmosphere, the mesosphere, the dissosphere, and thatosphere, and all that type of stuff. But guess what? Even water has to have oxygen in it. It's not water without oxygen. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. Further you go up in the atmosphere, there's no oxygen. So at the point where no oxygen goes up, guess what? Clouds don't even go up there. Y'all been in planes before. You 5 miles above the sky. I mean, above the earth, right? 5 miles, you above the clouds and everything. Right or wrong? So that proves there's certain levels. The clouds can't go past a certain level. Even the ones they call the cirrus clouds are supposed to be way up high in the atmosphere. Once you go up in the airplane, you realize, and you do see this big blue, you go above storms and everything, right? Be watching the lightning strikes and all that type of stuff, right? Isn't it? So you see firsthand, hold up, there's levels to this thing where he put a firmament, rakia. Clouds don't go past this point. water don't go past this point. You see what I'm saying? Simple. It don't have to be complicated, Pete. And I'm not talking to us in here. I'm talking to anybody who may listen later on and wants to make this into some complicated thing. It ain't got to be that complicated if you believe in the word of God. Because Yahweh said, I put a barrier, rakia, I separated them so that they won't ever touch. The ocean ain't going to go up into the atmosphere, and what's up in the atmosphere ain't going to come down here. And to the point where people do try to break it, guess what? You can, quote, unquote, break through it, but guess what happens when you break through it? You burn. Why? Because you ain't supposed to go through it. Right? You burn. You crash and burn. Sometimes I was home when the Columbia sitting home when a rocket ship explodes and everybody still wants to fly. Oh, yeah, I witnessed that. I was home with a sinus infection. They put it on in school, and I was so upset. I was so upset, man. I was like, I got the sinus infection, nose all plugged up, nasty mucus, just the challenger, right? And we all got to witness what happens when you play with fire too much. Who would think that up there going through that would cause things to burn? It's cold up there. There's no oxygen up there. It's unlivable. Yahweh forbid we're ever on a plane and you hear burn, 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 burn. And what's the first thing that comes down? And what do they tell you to do with that? Put it on your face fast. Why? Because you ain't no air. You're going to die. Because you ain't supposed to be up there. Water ain't even supposed to be up there. That's why clouds ain't even up there. And these clouds look humongous, taller than any skyscraper. You'd be like, wow. I hate being an airplane, but when I'm up there and I'm at the cruise altitude and I can look, it's amazing. It is amazing, especially like we left one time in a snowstorm and we left one time in a rainstorm. And you take off in the middle of that rainstorm and the plane's like, and you're like, Yahweh, ooh, that's time. Ooh, Yahweh. Oh, Father, I believe in you, Shema Yisrael. Yahweh Elohim, Yahweh Yekar. I love my brothers. I love my sisters. Father, forgive me for everything that I did, Father. You sit there, and I ain't lying. I know it's true. And then the plane, especially if you take off from BWI and that plane banks, and you looking at, boy, you looking at the stadiums and all these buildings. You looking at Arundel Mills Mall. Like, yo, that's tiny from up here. You know, ain't no going back. I'm telling you, everything clings up in you, but you get the cruise altitude, and he says, boom, you take your seatbelt off, and you look outside, and it's like euphoria sits, and he's like, wow. Yeah, you look at them clouds. Oh, my goodness. Beautiful. And you say, and one song came from, heaven must be like this. Heaven. And I know he's talking about a relationship with a woman, but I'm looking up there like, wow. If heaven is anything like the kingdom, looks anything. Woo! Beautiful, beautiful bastard. But it don't have to be complicated, short. If the scientists want to get into all of this and all that sort of stuff, and guess what? Well, let's look at it some more. Right? And he said, let it divide the waters from the waters, and we see that. And Elohim made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament, right, from waters which were above the firmament. So he set different firmaments in place. What we call an atmosphere, he set different levels where man and flesh can dwell, plants, trees, ants, bugs, and all of that, where birds can even fly to certain altitudes. But guess what? You think about people who try to climb Mount Everest. You know what hurts people once they try to climb Mount Everest? Oxygen deprivation. You up too high. But that's still on the earth. But once you get to the top of that, you have transcended into a place where you're not supposed to be. They doing stuff animals don't even do. Billy goats ain't going up that high. They smart enough to know, I ain't going up there where oxygen ain't. But mankind will do it. So we're seeing there's levels to this firmament where mankind can dwell, where things should be and where things should not be. Right? 1:7. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament and from waters which were above the firmament, and it was so simple. And God called the firmament heaven in Hebrew, Shemayim, and the evening and the morning, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So we see that one of the second thing that Yahweh did after establishing an order, the second thing he did, he starts to make this earth now habitable for mankind. You got to have it oxygenated. Mankind needs oxygen. And God said in 1:9, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. Why did he say that? And let the dry land appear. And it was so. So what do we see there? It was all covered in water, right? And he had to say at some point now, let me make a little swath that mankind, that things can now habitate. Because he's not making sea creatures. He's making land dwellers. So in order to make, because he had a master plan for it all, right? So now he makes this. Right? It's not quite green yet, though. But it's the marker we had. I would have made it a different color, but I couldn't. I didn't find the brown marker in there. So bear with me, okay? 1:9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Now, we don't know how big the dry land was or whatever. I'm not trying to get into all of that. But we know now that there's a part where water was, there's a part where land was. I mean, part where water and part where land was now, right? And God and Elohim, 1:10, called the dry land earth. In Hebrew, it's Eretz. And the gathering together of the waters called he seas, Mayim, right? And Elohim saw that it was good. Why? Because part of his master plan to put man on there, not to be sea creatures, he wanted to be land dwellers. He had to say, oh, okay, this is working now. It's going according to my plan. Every time it goes according to his plans, he says what? It's good. It's functional. It's functioning. It's functioning. I gotta have oxygen, all right? Once I have this oxygen, I got to separate waters, right? And then I got to bring forth now this land, and now I got to put the water in one place, and I got to put the land in one place, right? 1:11, and Elohim said that the earth bring forth grass. So now he starts to make it green. Guess what? Plants don't grow underwater. Sure, you might have seaweed and all that type of stuff. Yeah, you got some things out there that because of how Yahweh created it. But for the most part, the vegetation that we eat now comes from here. So we see the process, right? So think about even when we make a garden. Can you just have a dry patch of land and just throw seeds in it? What do you have to do first? Before you water it. Why? It's compact. And as visible as compact, and it doesn't get what? Oxygen. That's why you break it up, because you got to oxygenate it. You got to get it. You got to get some air up in that bad boy. Once you get some air up in that bad boy, then now you can throw seeds on top of it. Right? It ain't complicated. But see, mankind, it's like simple things. Oh, come on. Our brains are too complex to just accept that. Why not? If you plant a garden, you do that. You say, I got to have a plot of land. You know, and you think about, look at what they did with the city of New Orleans. They built the city of New Orleans in a place where it's supposed to be habitated by water. It's below sea level. So when the levee broke, Hurricane Katrina, the earth did what it would naturally do.
Right.
Mankind thought he could outsmart Hurricane Katrina. But Hurricane Katrina said, no. Yahweh said, if this is the sea level and you build it below sea level, water is supposed to go to the furthest depth. So you thought you was going to outsmart God, but you couldn't do it. And unfortunately, because of man thinking he's a genius above Yahweh, it cost millions upon thousands upon thousands of people their lives. Don't blame God. Don't blame Yahweh for that.
Man.
Because y'all decided to build a city below sea level. And now you see what the result of it was. Don't blame George Bush. He didn't build that city. That city was built hundreds of years before he was born. So when the levee broke, guess what? Nature did what it was supposed to do anyway. Girls trip. Debauchery in New Orleans, y'all. Let's make a movie about it, because we can be just as raunchy as the other. Yes, it was. But that's truth. Be taught the truth about it. Tell the truth about it. You know, we got to one up y'all. We got to show y'all we just as raunchy as y'all, too. Y'all can't have all the fun by yourself. And they got the chief of the lesbians in there. Knowing she don't want no man. She got to play a role. Acting. Do you know that in many languages, many primitive languages, there is no word for acting? Hmm? In many primitive languages, there is no, you know what the word for acting is? Lying. Even in Hebrew, there's no word for acting. They had to invent a word for that, whatever it is. Hmm? Anyway, tangent, y'all. Sorry. 111. And Elohim said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in it upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in it after his kind. And Elohim saw that it was good, and evening and the morning were the third day. So we see by the third day, all of this is taking place now. So 3 days prior to the think about this. Those of us who have bought a house or bought an apartment, right, that somebody lived in prior to it, or even if it was a brand new or made from the ground, do you just walk in that house? That house has to be prepared. Even if you're going into an apartment that's been vacated for a while, they still send people in there to vacuum, make sure everything works. Well, basically, Yahweh's doing the same thing for mankind. He's building him a place to be habitated, but he's making sure that all the furnishings are in there before he gets. He's doing what Chip and Joanna Gaines do. You watch Chip? You watch him? You don't know who Chip and Joanna Gaines is? Do you know? I watch HGTV. One of my favorite shows is Fixer Upper, and I love to see them take something that you wouldn't believe is even habitable. They had one house that raccoons and possums and bugs and all kinds of stuff had infested it, and they went and made that house habitable. Well, not saying that that was what the state of the planet was in, but it wasn't ready for man to be received from it. You know, so that's what he's doing. So when Yahushua says, I go to prepare a place for you, this we should see the painstaking work that is going on that we don't see right now. And why it's taking him so long to come back. And why he even couldn't tell you what day or what hour it's going to take place. Because, see, Abba is giving him instructions on how to renovate this place. You see what I'm saying? And he said it's going to be a new earth, a new heaven, and a new earth. Y'all ain't even going to receive any of this old stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we have to understand there's a process to this all, and it's painstaking. It's a painstaking process.
Amen.
And see, one of the things we have to understand that even though, yes, Yahweh can snap his fingers and make certain things happen, if he placed an order, Yahweh follows the natural order. You see what I'm saying? So even after the flood, we see that it took time for the waters to recede. And it took time after that for now the land to dry. And it took time after that for him to be able to send the dove out to come back with the olive branch. It's a process to it all. You see? And he wants us to understand that here too. Okay. All right, so we at the third day. Now, this is the part that throws people off when we get into Genesis 1:14. And Elohim said, let there be lights. And in Hebrew, all right, wait a minute. Morot, all right? In Hebrew, that term is morot. Now, when you look in your Strong, it's going to say or. But in Hebrew, it's morot. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven. Now we're starting to see he started to implement something different. So now, go on first. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. So now he's saying, let these lights be in the firmament. And see, this is where now the scientists try to throw. Why even when the Russians sent the first cosmonauts into outer space, his statement was, I don't see God. Well, guess what? You did now. Guess what? George Carlin, you seen him.
Come on,
right? So now, He's saying he set these lights. And now we know the sun is out there, the moon is out there, the stars are out there, right? Now, the funny thing about it is this. What happens the further you get up into the atmosphere? They get cold, right? So now, when he put this sunlight in there, he puts the sun up there, right, to start to create a cycle of day and night, because we see where there was evening and morning, but now we start to see that there is a cycle of time of light and time of dark, because it's two different words. There's all light, right, and then there's also koshek, which is darkness. But now when we see evening and morning, those are two different words. Evening is erev, right? So now we have to understand from a he's letting us know these are different things that are taking place here. So now when he places the sun and the moon and the stars out there for mankind, he's opening up this sort of a veil to let the heat of the sun in, to allow heat to be trapped within the firmament. Because when you think about it, heat isn't everywhere. Like, when you go up further, it gets colder. The further up you get, the colder it gets, right? So heat is only within a certain boundary. And when you think about the firmament, right, so the light of the sun bursts through, comes through. It heats up to a certain point, and then the heat gets trapped there by the firmament. You with me? Okay. It said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So what did he implement right here? Time. He implemented cycles. For things to happen, for things not to happen, right? Now he implemented a means for mankind to calculate things. I remember having a discussion with a brother about how do we know what day is the seventh day? How do we know when the Sabbath is? How do we know it's not 8 days instead of 7 days? Well, if you believe in the Torah, right here on this day is when he set the cycles in place. This is when he set the cycles in place. Simple as that. Because it ain't man is implementing this. Man is inheriting this. Because man's not even here yet to devise this. Yes.
Assumption that all of the planets was made that way.
Hallelujah.
This planet was made.
Thank you.
And if you go, if the higher you go, it gets cold, you would think when you, the closer you get to the sun, you're going to get warm.
Exactly.
No other planet was like this.
Nope.
That's why you never gave us a vibe on another planet. It's this one to be.
Hallelujah.
So that way so that the sunlight can be trapped, like you said. In this, that's why we have that atmosphere.
Thank you so much, sir, because that's what I was trying to say. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, hallelujah. Hallelujah, because, see, that was part of my dream, how we have to help and support one another. So if I'm up here, I get tongue-tied, hallelujah, Torah Rabbah, because that's hallelujah. So we see this is what he did. Turkey back off of that point. See, they're spending all this money to go to Mars, to Mars, to Mars, to Mars, to Mars. For what? It ain't even blue. It's letting you know. It's the color of what deserts look like on our Earth. Red clay. You ain't seen not one touch of blue. But that's what they're going up there. If we find water, we know. If we find one drop of water, we can live there. Hold on. You got a bajillion drops of water right here. So just think about the insanity of mankind science. Billions. It don't cost millions. It costs billions of dollars to put a manpower, man time, scientific minds, and all this type of stuff in order to get this thing out into the planet Mars, right? Whether it's true or not, I'll never know. I'm not in that realm, right? But when you think about the illogic behind it all, the illogic of the scientific mind, what would billions upon billions of dollars that y'all spend to send a tiny little probe with a camera on, a GoPro, basically, right, a skateboard and a GoPro out to Mars, how much would that money go towards repairing the Earth, reversing the negative effects of your scientific project? How much further would that go right here? You see how illogical man is? You see how illogical that is? But just think about the imperialistic mindset now. Transversing from one continent to another to dominate it is not enough. Dominating the entire planet is not enough. Now we've got to try to find a way to dominate another planet. Amen. So, as Brother Yaka El so eloquently stated it, see that the sun was built specifically for this planet. Everything in the universe, believe it or not, revolves, and I don't mean, you know, like that type of revolution, but as far as the focal point is this planet right here. It ain't KP-213 or whatever other blue stuff they find out. It's about this right here. This sun, this moon, these stars, the focal point is this little blue planet right here with some greenery on it. Okay. So, 115. And let them be for light in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. See? So we see now that, what you see, so you see now that what is the process of even planting and making this stuff green? You need the heat and you need the nourishment from the sun for the plant. So he's letting you know this is how this is the whole you're going through that whole process right there. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And Elohim made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And Elohim set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide light from the darkness. And Elohim saw that it was good, and evening and morning, the fourth day. Okay? So now, I want to stop right there, but I do want to touch one. No. I'm going to stop right there. And he's, yes, ma'am. And Elohim set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon
who we are.
The word explains it for itself.
Right.
You know, now, scientists like to tinker with, you know, how the whole process works or whatever. But at the end of the day, and it's something that, you know, Yaka El said last night in his teaching, was that how do you know? How do you know what you believe? Talking about the scientists, the doubters, the scoffers, the atheists. How do you know? You get all, you come up with all your proofs or whatever, but we have the proof right here. For those of us who believe, for doing the research and coming up with all the scientific stuff behind it, but this is enough. That's enough. We don't need any more than that. I want to stop there because I got more to talk about for next week. All right. Amen. Any comments? Hallelujah. Any questions? All right. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, since you mentioned that, players, when they go to play at Mile High Stadium, who always has the advantage? The people who practice in are used to being up there. Matter of fact, I think it was one of the Steelers. I think it was Ike Taylor. Is it Ike Taylor?
Clark.
Couldn't play up there. He actually almost died from playing up there. Now, this is right here in our country. I'm glad you mentioned that. This is right here in our country that you have the two extremes. People who have lived so low that you shouldn't live there, and people who live so high up, it's a danger to some. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things in football, they know, if you see Denver on your schedule, be prepared. Be prepared because you're going to be stuck in wind. All your condition in the world cannot account. And you think about how Yahweh has made us. He's made this body adaptable to a certain extent. And that once you get used to certain things, but if you're not used to playing up there, they'll tell you you're going to be sucking wind by the end of the first 5 minutes. You know, so you see, if you watch a game at Denver, the opposing team, they always like this, got the oxygen mask on their face because it's an extreme condition for the human body. Hmm? Testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ain't had to climb Mount Everest. All we had to do was send the brother out there. The Hebrew explorer. Hallelujah.
You look at the picture of the mountain where they had when the kids big
came.
That's real. It's hot outside.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And see, you even think about a mountain, what the mountain represents. See, you ain't supposed to climb. You can be tricky, and that's what these people do. They devise ways of what they call pushing the limits of mankind. No, what you like to do is do a railing against Yahweh. Yep. Because you can say, because you think about, what's the purpose of going up there?
Come on.
Really, what's the purpose?
Come on.
What's the purpose? When you think about, what's the purpose of, the mountain was made to be admired from afar. Mm-hmm. Because it was supposed to represent, and we see that in the book of Daniel. What does the mountain represent? It's supposed to represent the kingdom of Yahweh. It's supposed to represent a place that you, and see, all of this mankind uses to say, ha, this disproves God. It doesn't disprove God.
Man.
What it just shows is how tricky you can be at times. And granted, you know, that's the funny thing about it, because even when Yahweh says, the day that you eat of that fruit, you will die, what you don't realize is that, no, Adam didn't die that day, but it started a process of death for him. See, and just like when you climb that mountain, sure, it instills a process of doubt, but at the end of the day, it only brings about the destruction of those who want to yield to your way of thinking. So you might defy and, quote, unquote, cheat death, or what you think is cheating death, because you were able to make it up there and make it back down safely. You've done nothing but do a parlor trick for the world. That's all you did. Sleight of hand. Any other comments? Questions? All right, family. One on that. Nope. Cold queen. All right, y'all, to close this out with our prayer. Oh, wait, I got to do the blessing first. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternity, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Amen.
Close it out. Pray, Aki.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
we had not had to wake up this morning, Father. But it's all through your word and your mercy, Father, that you put upon us and woke up this
morning. Amen.
So with that breath, Father, we thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for your well, Father,
mm-hmm.
for the lesson you put together for us, Father, for the insight, for the revelation that you put in us, Father. For the beautiful revelation. Lord, our God, you continue to amaze us, Father. Continue to bring us to the levels that we don't be putting you, Father, now. Thank you, Father. Father, we ask that all those that are in route, Father, that you bless them, Father. Those who can't make it, Father, that you still put upon them your Sabbath blessing. For the sick, Father, that you touch them, Father. Most important, Father, that your work is done in
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah.
All right.
Because you have rejected his instruction.